Clap if you believe in webcomics!
Now connecting to the Webcomic Beacon Extended Play.
Hello, and welcome to the Webcomic Beacon. Today is episode 148. This is an EP, which means it's going to be short and sweet. My name is Adam Smithy of the Apple of Discord, and I am joined by...
Alex Heberling of alexisguide.net.
And our special guest expert today is...
Jules Rivera of Marsh Rocket.
And today we are going to be talking about the fourth wall. What is it? What breaking the fourth wall is, and why you probably are doing it too often.
Thank you.
The fourth wall is sort of an important thing, and breaking the fourth wall has sort of become a tradition in a lot of webcomics, and I know for me as a person, breaking the fourth wall kind of gets irritating with some of the comics that do it. So let's start out by actually defining what the fourth wall is.
I'll go ahead and take the lead. The fourth wall is a term that was coined in theater, and in Shakespearean theater, where the fourth wall is the invisible line between the actors on stage and the audience. So if you break the fourth wall, this is when the actors actively engage the audience and speak directly to the audience. Now, basically, when a webcomic does this, this is when the characters actively engage the reader, saying, as if to say, what do you think about this? Or something like that. And the most common thing that I usually see where a webcomic breaks the fourth wall is an introduction, like the beginning of a webcomic. All over the place. And I'm about to explain to you why you should not be doing this. It seems so to me that a lot of creators of webcomics are fledgling writers, and that's okay. But a lot of their webcomics, at least the first two, maybe even three pages of material, starts off with one of their characters greeting the reader, saying, "Hey, welcome to my webcomic. We're going to have a lot of chuckles and a lot of laughs and a lot of adventures, and I hope you stick around and enjoy." And I guess this comes from a certain insecurity with writers. They're not sure if people are actually going to like their stuff, so they're just kind of shy and trying to break out of their shell, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, this does scream amateur. If you are doing a gag-a-day strip, or if you're doing especially a long-form story, the best thing to do to start off your material is just take a deep breath, gain a bit of confidence, and just start your work. Mm-hmm. Don't bother with fourth wall tapping. Don't greet anybody. They know they're there and they get it. They're feeling very welcome. Just start the show.
Well, and the worst part with starting it this way is, for a lot of comics that I've seen, that's the only time they ever break the fourth wall. And it's a really awkward start. If you're going to have a semi-journal sort of thing where you've got characters talking directly to the audience, that's okay. I mean, I do that in the Apple of Discord, but mostly the stuff where I do that in the Apple of Discord is like, it's a bit where if I was a stand-up comedian, I would be doing stand-up of this routine. It's just I've got a guy standing there in the comic talking instead of doing that. But if you got in like a serious story and the character is going, "Hi, my name's Bob. This is my roommate Carl, and we're we have wacky adventures, and there's a hot girl that doesn't know we exist that lives down the hall," and then they never talk directly to the camera again.
It just tends to undermine the entire comic a little bit for me.
It is inconsistent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I need to throw in something. By the way, I'm Fesso, fessworks.com.
Yes, Fess, we know who you are.
You didn't introduce me.
Who are you people?
There's also the one where not only are you introducing You may not be introducing directly to the reader. You may be saying, maybe with your friends within the comic, saying, what should we do to make a webcomic? That's also breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, your first story arc. Do not make it about starting your webcomic. Nobody cares.
Oh, gosh. Oh, do people really do that? Oh, that's not so good.
Yes, it's I don't know how those comics go after that because I've never read one of them.
Because she stopped reading.
I am guilty of doing that, but I did it sarcastically, and I have then since deleted those strips and put them in my deleted strips section.
Well, yeah, and I do, like, the How Not To series that I do on the Apple of Discord started out with a guy going, I know how I'm going to start my webcomic, and then he rattles off all of this stuff, and in the last panel, it's where I introduce the Archer character as he shoots him from off the side of the comic and then walks over and smirks at him bleeding on the floor. So
yeah, guys, do. Oh, go ahead.
But if you want to, like, back to what the fourth wall is, it's about suspension of disbelief. It's about thinking that the thing that you're watching or reading is real, as opposed to is a fictional construct that you're actively viewing. There are things that do not have this, and there's no harm to them. Like I said, the slice of life journal sort of comics don't do that. We don't really do this here in the United States very much with stage plays, but I know in England they have the pantomime, which is usually it's like a children's play, and it's where that thing, like the where Tinkerbell encourages the children to clap if they believe in, or no, it's the other way around, Peter Pan. That's straight out of classic British pantomime, where audience interaction is not just it's not incidental, it's integral to the way it works. So it's entirely possible to have a fictional thing. A lot of video games, the characters seem to be more than aware of the fact that they're video games. So you don't need a fourth wall, but if you're going to try and have a realistic universe where you intend to keep it real, the fourth wall is that line that separates the audience from the characters and keeps the audience on one side and the characters on the other. Think about this. If you ever watched Married with Children, they're always sitting there watching the television. We've never seen the television because the television is sitting in front of the invisible fourth wall. So when we're watching them watching TV, we're watching them sitting on a couch staring at the TV that doesn't exist.
And that's, I think I've actually seen the TV. I think it does exist. You see, like, the top of the TV.
They did. And there was an episode when they were trying to do a spin-off.
It's just that wall in their living room that doesn't exist.
Yeah. but that's one of those things where the first time when you really realize that is a classical example of an actual fourth wall, as opposed to it being the metaphysical kind of line that you divide. Reasons that characters will break the fourth wall. Most of the fourth wall stuff, including the name, as Jules said, goes back to acting, traditionally.
Acting. Because I'm an actor.
It needs a hyphen in the middle of it. Actor. one of the big things that they do is, if you've ever watched a show like Malcolm in the Middle, Parker Lewis Can't Lose did this, where you will have the action going on and there isn't any break of the fourth wall, except the main character will occasionally turn and talk directly at the camera just for a minute, just to say a line or two. That started out as, it was a literary conceit for plays called The Aside. And it started out with two characters where they would You as the audience would be witnessing character A pulling character B aside and having a private conversation quickly between the two of them, which usually was used to advance the dialogue where the rest of the cast behind them did not hear what they were talking about because the implication was they're like in a corner whispering to themselves, right? But as the form evolved and degraded, a lot of times you wouldn't necessarily have two characters. It would wind up a soliloquy to a skull, for instance. And then it evolved even further to the point where sometimes it was just the actor talking straight at the audience. Or to the spirits, which was usually a good stand-in for the audience. Or just being crazy, according to the rest of the cast. Like, oh, he's over there talking to himself again.
yeah.
So that's a limited, controlled... That's more like a hole in the fourth wall than it is a full-on break, because it's not even necessarily that the character is aware that there's an audience... except for when they're doing that little aside and they're out of character, or they, you know, someone says something stupid and they fire the camera a knowing look. Now, The Office. Do either of you watch The Office?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I don't actively watch things that remind me of my crappy office life.
I'm an embarrassing office fan, girl.
I hate it!
Well... The Office is weird because they have the conceit that the people in the show, at least hypothetically, know they're being recorded because there's a camera crew there, though why there's a camera crew following them around after, like, what, 6 years now or some ungodly number? That's so as part of the suspension of disbelief, as part of us, the audience, believing that there's really a camera crew following them around, they can get away with stuff like talking directly to the camera and doing the raised eyebrow when somebody says something stupid and looking directly at the camera and explaining their motivations and stuff. But they're really not actually breaking the fourth wall, because the fourth wall is contained within the fact that there is a camera and that they know there's a camera already.
Mm-hmm. There's like multiple fourth walls going on.
Yeah. It's a nested, it's a Russian stacking nested doll fourth wall.
What? That sounds like you're breaking a few laws of physics there, buddy.
Hey, you can put a fourth wall inside another fourth wall.
Wow. Stop, you're giving me a nosebleed. I am reminded of, yeah, how Parker Lewis did it, Malcolm in the Middle did it, and quite well, because it would... It really is just the character letting you in, letting the audience into their mind. You know, like, I think one of the most memorable lines to me is Malcolm in the Middle, where Malcolm, he does something extraordinarily horrible, and then he turns to the camera and says, "Oh gosh, on paper, this was a much better idea." and that was, and just little aside like that, that just kind of let you into the character's line of thinking. That's a pretty brilliant use of the fourth wall.
Yeah, it's almost like they're a narrator.
I was going to say an internal monologue. Like, they're thinking, you know, like when you see somebody walking around, you know, should I ask her? Should I not ask her? What if I do that? You know, somebody, you know, muttering to themselves. They're not necessarily talking to the so-called audience, but it could just be an outwardly expressed inner monologue.
That kind of reminds me of the Wonder Years, actually. Do you think that what kind of fourth wall do you think that is?
That's a narration. He was narrating him when he was older.
That's or young. Yeah, narration
that's just a
is
a lot of narration. I don't know if he was actually actively breaking the fourth wall. I don't think.
Well,
although
Winnie
Cooper was so pretty, she could break any wall with her beauty or some crap like that.
Narration is sort of breaking a fourth wall, because the narrator in the instance is definitely and knowingly talking to an audience. It's different than the internal monologue that we're getting to hear, because like with the Wonder Years, he's explaining these stories with, I think they do the same, at least they started out doing it with How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a few comics do that too. And you can actually get some neat effects if you get more than one character attempting to explain something that happened, especially when they have varying different viewpoints on what actually happened. You get a Kurosawa film. There's a TV Tropes, which we reference a fair bit for this stuff, and which I like to throw up a warning that unless you have a couple of hours free, if you're prone to wiki hopping, you should probably avoid TV Tropes. Has a rating that they call the sliding scale of fourth wall hardness. And we'll make sure that a link gets put up in the actual podcast post. But it starts out with the completely solid fourth wall. And, you know, that's where this is reality. There's no direct acknowledgement of the viewer. Occasionally lamp shading, like Jules mentioned with Deep Space Nine, where they're like, you know, oh, that would never happen. You can get away with stuff like that.
Let me explain the example, because we were talking about that offline. Okay, the example we were not recording.
No, it wasn't recorded.
Oh,
it wasn't recorded. Okay. So let me backtrack. For those of you who were not there in our metaphysical conversation that happened before this particular recording happened, I had brought up that in an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, what they did was something very interesting, was that they took a lot of the actors and kind of recast them in kind of an Elseworlds alternate universe where all the characters appear in roughly the 1930s, 1940s America, where wonderful things like discrimination totally still existed. And
yay!
Very nice
and
hats.
Totally awesome. Sweet hats. Everybody had really sweet hats. Okay, so, you know, it's give and take, all right? Yes, you're not going to be allowed to enter the front door in a particular establishment, but at least you'll be able to do it in a sweet-ass hat. So, I'm being facetious, of course. Anyway, the character who plays Sisko is just a writer, and he's a creative writer writing for this, I believe it's like some kind of creative, just story magazine where people would just pick this thing up and just have a bunch of stories told to them. So the writer wanted to write a story about people in space where there would be a black captain and, you know, just have all kinds of different aliens and adventures, basically the premise for Star Trek. And people in the 1930s or so said, oh, no, nobody's ever going to buy that. That's never going to happen, da-da-da-da-da. So at the end of the episode, we cut back to Sisko in Star Trek time, and Sisko says, well, maybe we are his fantasy. We are in his mind. Whoa, that's some kind of serious. That, and this exactly is an example of layered fourth walls, where maybe the fourth wall exists from Sisko's universe back into that 1930s universe. We're watching the 1930s universe and try not to get a nosebleed. That's the example I was talking about. So go ahead.
Okay, so the next one they have down is the visible fourth wall, which is where the audience is aware that the characters may be at least sort of aware. You get the soliloquies and the asides and the things like that, but it's not a direct involvement of the audience quite so much as it is an acknowledgement that, you know, they could be being watched. There's a lot of times you might have a character that plays this up as a paranoia angle for a joke at one point and be like, do you ever get the feeling that maybe there's people watching us? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and other shows where, you know, someone starts addressing the fourth wall and talking to the characters, and they're like, who are you talking to? There's no one there.
Oh, yeah. There was a fantastic scene on they did at the end of the 2003 Ninja Turtles cartoon. They did like a 2-hour long movie where they had the 1980s Ninja Turtles accidentally use the dimensional transporter that they had to transport themselves to the 2003 significantly more realistic Ninja Turtles universe.
Yeah, that's on YouTube somewhere.
I heard about that.
And, like, Michelangelo kept talking to the camera, and one of the bad guys went, like, looked to where he was going, and he was like, "Who are you talking to? There's no one there."
Well, now we're getting into kind of like a Turtles Infinite Crisis territory.
That's just
4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th walls, just all kinds of walls all over the place.
It definitely went Infinite Crisis. They wound up having to find the original, like, black and white comic book Ninja Turtles to put the universe right. So it's beautiful. You should hunt it down. All of you who are listening, you have a homework assignment. Go watch that, because it was awesome.
If only we can figure out what the name was.
Hmm?
Yeah, figuring out the name of that movie would be pretty helpful.
Turtles Forever.
Turtles Forever, yeah, that's it.
Oh, Turtles, yeah, okay.
Forever.
It aired once. That's all I know of. Aired once or twice.
But
I just remember a couple of friends of mine got to preview it at Comic-Con a couple years ago. Sweet. That's all I know.
Google is your friend. That's all I'll say on that subject. So then we go to the semi-permeable fourth wall to get back on, because this is an EP. We keep them short and sweet, so we got to kind of move along at a brisk pace here. The next is the semi-permeable fourth wall. This is where my characters have a tendency to live, where you've got one or more characters that is at least hypothetically aware of the fact that they're in a medium. I excuse the fact that Art and Leaf, my main characters on Apple Valley, know this, because this is like the fourth webcomic that they've been in, and they've figured it out by now. though I play it off by the fact that since they've traveled interdimensionally, everyone else assumes that they're just kind of crazy at this point. But they make open references to the fact that it's not so much that they're talking to the audience at this point as they're talking about the fact that they are in a fictional construct. It's not as broken of a fourth wall break as when you have a character directly imploring to the audience. But if you have characters commenting on the fact that, you know, the sound effects aren't as good and they need to hire a new sound effect guy, or that there was supposed to be a much bigger explosion but they've run out of a special effects budget or something like that. Usually happens much more with the tongue-in-cheek sort of humor comics.
A good example of this in movie form would be Attack of the Killer Tomatoes sequel, where they kept commenting if they needed to actually have product placement and they needed to have a bigger budget for doing all this.
If it's done well and tastefully and it's not shoved down the audience's throat, it can be funny. A lot of people criticized the TV show Eureka because in the third season, in order to get product placement on the show, they explained it away as that they were doing research for a degree deodorant or something. And so they managed to have, you know, somebody doing something involved with degree deodorant. Like in the first episode, there was they'd created an artificial sun hovering over the town, and they were using an experimental super deodorant to keep the main guy from exploding as he went and tried to turn it off.
That's actually kind of awesome. I don't know how I missed this. Wow. I should go look this show up.
Yeah. Eureka. It's a pretty good show. It's on Skiffy. Or
Sci-Fi. I don't have cable anymore.
Skiffy.
I'm still not loving the new name. I'm sorry.
Makes me want to pronounce it like Sci-Fi.
Sci-fi! Ooh.
Sci-fi!
Then that's where you start getting into playing with the fourth wall, which is the next to last one that they have listed here. And that's where you're playing with the medium because of the fact that you can. You know, you got characters that are reaching from one panel to another. I remember... in 8-bit theater, there was one of the middle of the, I mean, God, there were thousands of comics, so it's hard to say middle. But there was one where they were outside of the laws of reality, and they did a bit of this in that all of the characters in each of the panels were suddenly aware of the copies of them in the adjacent panels. And so, like, the first panel was commenting on what the people directly underneath them were doing, and then second panel was commenting on how there were people on either side of them now,
and then they all formed an army to,
it was a mess, but, I think Jules said, or somebody said Deadpool.
I said Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool is very notorious for this. In fact, that's actually kind of the appeal of his character when it's not Deadpool taken to ridiculous extremes.
Friggin' crazy. but, like, I think there was a great comic where Deadpool acknowledged the fact that he can see the little square boxes that have narrative text, which is how he always knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can read what, like, the narration is, so if he, you know, as it's explaining stuff, he can actually see what it's saying. And then he starts a conversation with the narrative text. But Deadpool's awesome, so he can get away with it. And then we get into the no fourth wall, which is where, like I said, you've either got something where it's framed in such a way that the characters are aware they're characters. A lot of times, if you have a comic that does this, you'll wind up with the characters are actors syndrome, where there was an episode of, I think it was Growing Pains or something, where reality suddenly broke full stop and one of the characters stayed the characters, but everybody else became the actors that played the characters or something. It was a very special episode. I think it may have been about not doing drugs. I don't remember.
Kids, that don't do drugs. You will end up like Mike Seaver doing pro-Christian videos or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Right there.
Huh?
That don't do drugs or else you might wind up doing the Left Behind movies.
Oh, man. Don't do drugs or else you will wind up as a crappy after school special, which is a good enough reason not to do drugs.
And then the last thing they have is beyond the fourth wall, or beyond no fourth wall, which is where authors who are manipulative and like to screw with the audience question the audience's sanity, like, you know, making the audience wonder if they're fake and being watched by somebody else too.
What?
Yeah, it's
get out of my head, Charles.
So that there's just that is what the fourth wall is. And that is what breaking the fourth wall means. And I believe we are just about out of time.
This is a big subject. We can easily look into more aspects of this at a later time, too.
Yeah, I think at some point in time. At some point in time. Well, now that we've got the intro to fourth walls done, maybe for a full-size webcomic beacon, we could talk like about the more metaphysical, like, you know, the webcomic awareness and some of the stuff that went on during the crossover wars and some of the bigger aspects of fourth wall breaking, mm-hmm, and do's and don'ts. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. My name is Adam Smithy of theappleofdiscord.com.
And I am Alex Heberling of Alex's Guide at alexsguide.net.
I'm Jules Rivera of marshrocket.com.
And you have been listening to the Webcomic Beacon EP.
And you're not real, man.
I know.
What is real?
tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.